Mimi Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
I think Florida's done a great job by building it, and whether it's Alligator, Alcatraz, or anything else you want to call it, it's an amazing facility for what it is. It's not a hotel. It's not supposed to be a hotel, but they've done a great job with it.
Hundreds of people who were once detained at the troubled immigration jail in the Florida Everglades, dubbed Alligator Alcatraz, have disappeared. The Miami Herald reports two-thirds of the 1,800 immigrants who were held there in July have gone missing from ICE's online database. Families are now unable to locate loved ones. We'll speak with the Miami Herald reporter who broke the story. Then a group of 11 people deported from the United States to Ghana have all been returned to their home countries where they feared torture and persecution. We'll speak to the ACLU's Lee Learned. And finally, to Yemen. Recent Israeli strikes on two newspaper offices killed 31 Yemeni journalists and media support workers, making it the deadliest attack on journalists anywhere in the world in 16 years.
Our message to the Israeli aggression and its criminal act of targeting civilians at the 26 September newspaper and targeting innocent people, children and women, we will not remain silent no matter what they do. We will not surrender no matter what they inflict upon us. We will respond in kind.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli military strikes have killed at least 30 Palestinians since dawn in south and central Gaza. Meanwhile, the Palestinian Civil Defense says an Israeli airstrike near a market in Gaza City killed nearly two dozen Palestinians, including six women and nine children, Wednesday. They were reportedly sheltering from Israeli airstrikes in a warehouse. On Wednesday, Israeli forces killed Dr. Mohammed Akram al-Kafarna, head of the Palestinian Nursing Association in the Gaza Strip, chief nursing supervisor at Kamal Adwan Medical Complex. Meanwhile, Spain and Italy are sending naval vessels to protect the Gaza-bound Global Samud flotilla after activists said drones attacked their boats near Greece. On Wednesday, activists reported multiple drones attacked their boats in the latest attacks on the flotilla. In a statement, the flotilla organizers said, quote, multiple drones, unidentified objects dropped, communications jammed, and explosions heard from a number of boats, unquote. This comes as major news outlets, the BBC, Reuters, the Associated Press, and Agence France-Presse, AFP, released a short film Wednesday calling on Israel to allow international journalists into Gaza. The film premiered at a Committee to Protect Journalists event in New York on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. French President Emmanuel Macron says President Trump assured him any attempt by Israel to annex the West Bank would be a red line and would signal an end to the Abraham Accords. This comes as Politico reports that Trump promised Arab and Muslim leaders during a meeting Tuesday he would not allow Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to annex the West Bank. Meanwhile, in Israel, at least 22 people were injured in a drone attack Wednesday. Authorities say the drone was launched from Yemen. This comes days after the Houthis fired a drone at the Red Sea resort city of Eilat in southern Israel. And Israelis protested at Ben-Gurion Airport as Netanyahu was departing to New York to address the United Nations General Assembly.
I'm here to tell the world and the Prime Minister, we want to end the war, we want to release the hostages, and to finish whatever we're doing in Gaza. The Israeli government does not represent the Israeli people. The vast majority of Israelis want to end the war and release the hostages.
Prime Minister Netanyahu will be addressing the UN General Assembly and meeting with President Trump in Washington for the fourth time since Trump took office. In Texas, a prisoner in an Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in Dallas was killed on Wednesday when a shooter opened fire from a nearby rooftop. Two other ICE prisoners were critically wounded in the sniper attack. Investigators say the shooter died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Following the attack, FBI Director Kash Patel posted an image on social media showing unused ammunition he said belonged to the shooter with the words anti-ICE written in blue ink on one casing. Vice President J.D. Vance said, without evidence, the attack was carried out by a, quote, violent left-wing extremist, unquote. While President Trump responded on social media, quote, this violence is the result of radical left Democrats constantly demonizing law enforcement, unquote. The shooter was identified as 29-year-old Joshua Yan with ties to North Texas and Oklahoma. His acquaintances described him to journalist Ken Klippenstein as someone with a vaguely libertarian bent who despised both major parties and politicians generally, a fan of first-person shooter video games, apparently racked up 10,000 games on one website, and the message board 4chan. He once flooded the comment sections of his friends' social media pages with rape jokes. This is the suspect's neighbor, Sherry Gates.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. We know a lot of people in this neighborhood, but I didn't happen to know them. And it's just shocking to me that, you know, our country's come to this point where we can't even talk, we can't share our opinions and ideas without risking being shot or something.
In California, 39-year-old Ismael Ayala Uribe was pronounced dead Monday after he was found unresponsive at the Adelanto ICE Processing Center. Ayala Uribe was brought to the U.S. from Mexico at the age of 4 and lived in Westminster in Orange County, his home for most of his life. He was approved for DACA in 2012, but his request to renew that protection was denied in 2016. He died one day after he received emergency surgery for an abscess. His treatment came 3 days after he first complained of pain and after his cries for help fell on deaf ears at the privately run ICE jail in California, which operated for profit by the GEO Group. Ayala Uribe is the 14th person to die in federal immigration custody since January. In more immigration news, CNN reports it's identified more than 100 U.S. citizen children, from newborns to teenagers, who've been left stranded without parents because of immigration actions this year. The parents were arrested by ICE during raids on workplaces ranging from farms to meatpacking plants, coming out of ICE check-ins or when dropping their kids off at school. In Georgia, lawyers for the prominent Spanish-language journalist Mario Guevara have asked a judge for a temporary restraining order to halt his deportation to El Salvador, which they say is imminent. Guevara has been jailed by ICE for more than 100 days, even though an immigration judge granted him bond. Guevara was arrested while live streaming a No Kings demonstration in June, even though he clearly identified himself as a journalist. He's lived in the United States for some 20 years and has built a large following for his reporting on anti-ICE protests. In China, nearly 2 million people evacuated Guangdong province ahead of Typhoon Ragasa's landfall earlier today. The storm brought record-breaking winds and torrential rains with up to a month's worth of precipitation falling over some areas. In eastern Taiwan, officials say 14 people were killed. 13 others remain missing after the typhoon caused a barrier lake to burst its banks, washing away bridges, submerging vehicles, and leaving the ground floors of homes underwater. The cyclone peaked as the equivalent of a Category 5 hurricane, is the strongest storm on Earth this year. China's President Xi Jinping said Wednesday his country plans to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions by at least 7 to 10% over the next decade. His landmark pledge in a video address Wednesday to the UN General Assembly came a day after Trump called climate change the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world.
绿色低碳转型是时代潮流。
Green and low carbon transition is the trend of our time. While some country is acting against it, the international community should stay focused on the right direction, remain unwavering in confidence, unremitting in actions, and unrelenting in intensity.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's appeal to global leaders to stop Russia from driving a new arms race, warning the combination of autonomous drones and artificial intelligence poses new risks to humanity. Zelensky made the warning during his address Wednesday to the UN General Assembly, where he said Russia will expand its aggression beyond Ukraine if it's not stopped. Separately, Zelensky told Axios he doesn't seek to lead Ukraine once conflict with Russia has ended, saying he intends to organize elections if a ceasefire is reached. On Wednesday, a Kremlin spokesperson lashed out over President Trump's claim Ukraine could claw back territory captured by Russia's full-scale invasion, saying Russia has, quote, no alternative but to continue its war in Ukraine. Former FBI Director James Comey is reportedly set to be indicted on criminal charges in Virginia by next week. This comes just days after Eric Siebert, the interim U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, resigned under pressure from President Trump after he refused to file charges against Comey. Earlier this week, Trump installed Lindsey Halligan, who was his personal lawyer, to replace Siebert. Halligan has no prosecutorial experience. Meanwhile, the FBI says it's found classified documents at former National Security Advisor John Bolton's office last month while executing a search warrant. According to a court filing, the documents reference weapons of mass destruction, the U.S. mission to the U.N., and the U.S. government's strategic communications. Bolton became a vocal critic of Trump after resigning in 2019 and writing a tell-all book about his time in the first Trump administration. The state superintendent of public instruction, Oklahoma, has announced plans to install chapters of Charlie Kirk's youth organization, Turning Point USA, at all state public high schools. In a post on social media, Superintendent Ryan Walters wrote, quote, radical leftist teachers unions have dominated classrooms for far too long, and we're taking them back, unquote. In a press release, Walters detailed how students could start a Turning Point chapter in their schools by gathering at least three students and completing a charter agreement. Turning Point USA would then send the chapter an activism kit. Walters was asked by a local reporter about what would happen to a school if they refused to establish a chapter of Turning Point USA.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would go after their accreditation. We would go after their certificate. So, yeah, they would be in danger of not being a school district if they decided to reject a club that is here to promote civic engagement.
Meanwhile, Oklahoma Republican lawmakers proposed a bill this week that would require all public colleges and universities to construct a Charlie Kirk Memorial Plaza on each campus that includes a statue of the late conservative activist. A statue of President Trump holding hands with the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein appeared earlier this week on Washington, D.C.'s National Mall and was quickly removed. The installation was titled Best Friends Forever and had a plaque that read, quote, in honor of Friendship Month, we celebrate the long-lasting bond between President Donald J. Trump and his closest friend, Jeffrey Epstein, unquote. A group called the Secret Handshake had reportedly obtained a permit to install the statue until Sunday, but the U.S. Park Police took down the statue before daybreak on Wednesday. In the New York City mayoral race, Republican nominee Curtis Sliwa says at least seven wealthy individuals have offered him money to end his campaign. He vowed to remain in the race, where he faces New York Mayor Eric Adams, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and New York Assembly member Zoran Mamdani. President Trump has previously stated, quote, Cuomo might have a chance of winning if it was a one-on-one, unquote. In response to the report, Zoran Mamdani wrote on social media, quote, another desperate attempt by people who can't stand the idea of New Yorkers electing their mayor instead of billionaires buying one, unquote, the Democratic mayoral candidate said. In France, a judge on Thursday sentenced former President Nicolas Sarkozy to 5 years in prison after he was found guilty of criminal conspiracy for illegally receiving millions of euros from the late Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi to fund his 2007 campaign. Sarkozy is the first former French head of state in the modern era to be convicted of a crime. And the daughter of a New Mexico state legislator is accusing her father of putting the priorities of the Israeli government over his constituents. New Mexico State Senator Jay Block was part of a bipartisan delegation of 250 lawmakers who visited Israel earlier this month for the 50 States One Israel conference, in which they were lobbied by the Israeli government for more funding. After the trip, Block declared Israel is not committing a genocide in Gaza and said the Israeli military is doing, quote, everything possible to avoid killing Gazan civilians, unquote. On Tuesday, 28-year-old Maddie Block called out her father in a TikTok video.
Dad, a Republican state senator in New Mexico, just got back from his trip to Israel, which was not like a personal vacation, by the way. It was him and a bunch of his other Republican cronies who got invited to Israel for what I can only assume was just like a propaganda trip.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. Hundreds of people who were once detained at the troubled immigration jail in the Florida Everglades, dubbed Alligator Alcatraz, have disappeared. The Miami Herald reports about two-thirds of the 1,800 immigrants who were held there in July have gone missing from ICE's online database, with their families unable to locate them. Earlier this month, a federal appeals court ruled the jail could continue to operate despite reports of abuse. Trump welcomed the news.
I think Florida's done a great job by building it, and whether it's Alligator, Alcatraz, or anything else you want to call it, it's an amazing facility for what it is. It's not a hotel. It's not supposed to be a hotel, but they've done a great job with it.
For more, we're joined by two guests. In Miami, Thomas Kennedy is a policy analyst with the Florida Immigrant Coalition. And in Washington, D.C., Shirshow Dasgupta is a reporter with the Miami Herald who co-wrote the new report headlined Hundreds of Alligator Alcatraz Detainees Drop Off the Grid After Leaving Site. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Shirshow, let's begin with you. You broke this story. Talk about how you got this information, what documents are available, how many people are missing or disappeared.
So my former colleague, Ana Ceballos, obtained two rosters of Alligator Alcatraz detainees in July. And those rosters accounted for a total of a little more than 1,800 men who were held at the facility. After a month, around end August, when the facility was winding down its operations, we matched the detainees in the rosters to ICE's online locator system, and we found that around 800 of them had no records, and roughly 450 of them had a result called Call ICE for Details, which is a pretty vague notation. We spoke to attorneys who said that that notation can mean anything. It could mean that someone is being processed for intake into a facility. It could mean that someone is being transferred from one site to another. Or it could also mean that that a person is about to be deported.
And Shirsho, can you tell us whether anyone has indeed contacted ICE to find out what's happening with these detainees?
Yes, we spoke to the attorney and family members of one person who was held at Alligator Alcatraz. He's a Cuban national named Michael Borrego Fernandez. He was at the site for around a month, and in early August, he was shifted to Chrome Detention Center in Miami, which is a federal detention center, unlike Alligator Alcatraz. Then around Labor Day, his family realized that he has been he has been sent to a federal detention facility in San Diego County in California. and they got this information through the online locator system. But he stopped calling them, and when his lawyer tried to contact him in the California facility, the staffers there kept telling him that we don't have anyone by that name, you should call ICE. And then the lawyer went to ICE, and ICE would just refer him back to the to the California site. And this went on for around a week until they finally heard from him. But by that point, he had already been deported to Mexico.
And Shishuk, talk about the significance of this. I mean, what is the distinction in practical terms? In other words, in the ways in which detainees are kept track of and processed through the immigration system in a federal agency versus a state-run facility?
So if a detainee is in a federal facility, they will appear in some form in the ICE case locator, and attorneys will have access to them. It is a very complex process, but attorneys know how to navigate this process. They know who to call. They know how to set up interviews with these people. They know how to have private calls with their clients. But because this was a state-run facility, there were jurisdictional issues because it was a very rushed process in which this site was set up. There was issues surrounding legal access between attorneys and clients. And, you know, even when they were transferred out of this facility, I've spoken to attorneys who've said that, you know, we don't know who to call. Sometimes we call a person who is listed as the contact person or is the contact person at, like, a site where he's supposed to be kept, but we don't even know whether that person is the right individual to call to set up a discussion with my client.
And what is the state saying to you, Shersha? What is Florida explaining that difference between federal and state, and what DeSantis, the governor of Florida, the deals he has made, the contracts with the money flowing in, ICE getting more money now than they ever had?
So Florida, per our last estimate, Florida has spent more than $200 million setting up Alligator Alcatraz. And obviously, it was ordered to be, you know, operations to be winded down, which they did. But then an appeals court issued a stay on that order. So it's a bit unclear about what's happening at the site now. In general, the DeSantis administration has taken a very hard stance on immigration. And he has made Florida among a leader in the states which are cracking down on violators of immigration laws. But in terms of, you know, our story about people sort of falling off the grid after being moved out of Alligator Alcatraz, his office did not comment. They referred us to ICE, and ICE did not issue any comment either, despite multiple requests.
Thomas Kennedy, you work with the Florida Immigrant Coalition. Can you talk about the panic of families right now when they can't find their loved ones? We're talking about Alligator Alcatraz, which is the term that Republicans dubbed this Everglades detention jail. And also what they also have dubbed Deportation Depot, another jail in Florida. But talk about both and what the families are doing.
Sure. So we actually connected and worked with the family of Michelle Borrego, who was just mentioned. And, you know, basically, this is what I call administrative disappearances, because Alligator Alcatraz is a completely state-run facility. And the state of Florida is trying to avoid a NEPA process, National Environmental Protection Act. Environmental study, because this facility sits in ecologically protected land that actually has a dark sky designation. They neglected to sign federal legal agreements that give the state the authority to detain immigrants. And because of that, it's one of the reasons why the people detained there don't show up in public databases, as previously mentioned. And that creates a host of problems for the family members and those detained there, right? Well, by not showing up in these public databases, it is easy to deny them due process and legal recourse. People are deported promptly before scheduled bond hearings. People are hospitalized often. This guy, Michel Borrego, you know, we connected with his mother, Janacy, both of Cuban descent. He actually had to endure a hemorrhoid-related surgery while detained at Alligator Alcatraz and was transferred over to Kendall Hospital, where most of the hospitalizations that take place in that facility end up. And he was there for 3 days after his surgery and was immediately transferred over to Alligator Alcatraz again, where he did not receive adequate medical care for his recovery and was denied even the most basic medicine to alleviate pain, for example. And these hospitalizations, which, you know, also have included cardiac incidents, you know, follow-up. There was a guy that we met whose fiancé told us that he had exploratory heart surgery just a week before being detained and was suffering from a ruptured kidney while in this facility. These hospitalizations are not recorded nor acknowledged by the state of Florida, the Florida Department of Emergency Management, which administers the facility, nor by the hospital itself, even though we saw and we recorded and documented ambulances going in and out of the facility constantly, upwards of a dozen, sometimes a day, because of the terrible conditions that have been outlined in this program and many others, right? So again, it creates an environment where due process is denied, legal recourse is denied, accountability is denied, transparency is denied, medical incidents are not recorded, which puts the detainees under further medical exposure and threat. And right now, things are so bad. I mean, the Miami Herald did a great job obtaining this list of people detained there, right? And cross-referencing people to the ICE locator to show what we advocates have been arguing for weeks, right? That this is a systemic issue and that people actually do not show up in these databases, which creates all of these problems, right? But yeah, I mean, what we are seeing at Alligator Alcatraz is basically a new model of immigration detention, where a state-run facility is operating as an extrajudicial black site, completely outside of the previous models of immigration detention in this country. And it's making what was already a terrible system somehow even worse.
Thomas Kennedy, we want to thank you for being with us. We hope you can stay with us for a post-show in Spanish for our Spanish website to talk about this crisis of immigrants disappearing. Where are they? Florida Immigrant Coalition. Shirsho Dasgupta is with the Miami Herald. He broke the story. Hundreds of Alligator Alcatraz detainees drop off the grid after leaving site. Next up, a group of 11 people deported from the United States to Ghana end up then being deported to their home countries despite fearing torture and persecution. We'll speak to the ACLU's Lee Learned. Stay with us.
And you can only view you with what you got. You don't have to pretend that you gotta know more. 'Cause you are young, Latin, and proud. Young, Latin, and proud. Young, Latin, and proud. Young, Latin, and proud. 'Cause you woke up feeling like this. You woke up knowing that you be you for the rest of your, for the rest of your life, for the rest of your life. 'Cause you are young, Latin, and proud. Young, Latin, and proud. Young, Latin, and proud. Young, Latin, and proud. And we are young, Latin, and proud. Young, Latin, and proud.
and Proud by El Lado Negro performing in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
We continue now on the subject of immigration and turn to the case of a group of West African men who were granted protection from deportation to their home countries on account of legitimate fears of persecution or torture at home. So the Trump administration instead sent them to Ghana. Ghana is one of a growing list of countries that have signed third country agreements.